Okay, so I want to start this morning. We're continuing our Growing Pains series. And I want to start with three stories this morning. And then I will let you know what we're going to be talking about this morning. The first one is when I was 16, I took my GCSEs, as most do. And they were called GCSEs when I was 16. They weren't O-levels. Just putting that out there. And before I carry on, I have been asked to tell you, I've been asked to give one more announcement. If you were here last Sunday, you will get this. Last Sunday afternoon, Matt painted the fence. People. He did. So I'm wondering what I can slip in there this Sunday that he's going to be doing this afternoon, okay? And but yeah, when I was 16, I took my GCSEs and didn't do that great in them. Not for a lack of trying, okay? And so I went and I did an extra year in sixth form. So I retook my GCSEs, then passed all of them. Woohoo! And then I was doing my A-levels. And it came to the Christmas where I was going to be having my mocks after Christmas. And I was like revising and nothing was going in. Okay, any of you teenagers know what that's like. Okay, I was revising, nothing was going in. And I was getting really, really, really hacked off. And so one night, I can remember it clear as day, I came downstairs and I said to my parents, I need to have a word with you. And so they sat down. And they went, okay, what's wrong? I said, I'm just letting you know, I'm quitting sixth form. And my dad went, I'm just letting you know, you're not. And they were like, why are you quitting? I'm like, I cannot do it anymore. And so I'm going to quit. I don't really need it anyway, because why do you need A-level history, food technology, sociology, and general? I mean, what good is general studies anyway? Okay, what do you need those for when you're going to go into the ministry? Like, and actually food technology has come in handy. Okay, I just want to point that out. Okay, and so I said, I can't do it. I'm giving up. I've had enough. And I'd like to say my dad was really pastoral at this point, but he was a typical Yorkshireman, and he just said, we have backed you for too long for you to stop now. You are going to do them, and you are going to do really well, and we are really proud of you before you've taken any exam. And my dad was great at stuff like that, but they refused to let me quit. And I'm really glad I didn't, because I went, I took them, I passed them, and I haven't used much of it, I must admit, in the ministry, but I'm really glad that I did them. And the second thing I want to tell you about is, it was about 2001, and I was wanting to expand our school's ministry, and so I phoned up Cordo School, as it was then, and I asked them, can we come in and do a lunchtime club? We're doing lunchtime clubs in Monksdyke and in a few primary schools. And I said, can we come in and do a lunchtime club? The door had previously been slammed in our face. And I found a teacher who would let us go in and wreck his classroom. It was great. And so I met with this teacher and he said, yep, he was called, I can't remember what he was called. I think it was Mr. West. Met with him and he said, yep, you can come in and you can do the lunchtime club. And they gave us a room. And so we went in, I think it was me and Liz that went in, and we moved all the tables in this classroom, and we put kind of the chairs around the classroom, and you know, we got it all set up and all ready, and it was starting at 12:30, and at 12:40, no one was there. And at 10:40, no one was there. And we've advertised it in the school, and you know, there's this new club, and we even said, you know, there'll be free sweets. So you do anything to get young people there. Free sweets normally does it. And no one came. So we put the classroom back, we went away, we came back the next Friday, we looked all the tables, we set out the chairs. No one came. We came back the next Friday. We moved all the tables. We set out the chairs. It got to 12:45. No one was there. And we were like, let's just not bother. Because like we're lugging all the tables and all the chairs and no one is coming. And we went back on the fourth week. We moved all the tables. We moved all the chairs. And 45 kids rocked up. And a similar thing happened when we started Beautiful She, our young parents group. And so we went in on a Tuesday afternoon and we set up, we used to have a back room, if those of you knew Wellington Street when we were there, and we set it all out and we set all the toys out, and it took us probably about an hour to set up. And we sat there with nice coffee. That was the only redeeming part of this story. And you know, half one went, 2 o'clock went, and I refused to put anything away until 3 o'clock, which is when we were finishing. And so we sat there for an hour and a half and we drank good coffee and not one parent turned up. And then we We came the next week and we did it. And I think maybe for 3 or 4 weeks, we set up the room. It took us ages. And the enemy's inside my head going, there's no point. No one's ever going to come to this. Because, like, no one wants to. And all the girls, they won't rock up to a church. And all of these things going around my head. And we had the conversation. And, should we just kind of go forget it? But we'd worked too hard and too long to get something off the ground. And I can remember we were sat in the back room. And there was a fire exit door in the back room of Wellington Street. And all of a sudden, it was snowing one day. And it was absolutely pelting it down with snow. We're like, there is no point setting up today. But we set up anyway. And all of a sudden, we heard a knock at the fire escape door. And so, like, we both ran to the fire escape. You know, one of those times when you kind of both get there at the same time and you both can't fit in the gap. And so one of you has to back away. And because we were both so excited. I mean, it could have been the postman. Thankfully, it wasn't. And we opened the door and there were two girls with two prams stood at the fire escape door. And we invited them in and we both wanted to make them coffee. These two girls must have just thought, these people are crazy. Like, because we both wanted to talk to them, and it was just like, right, let's see who can get in there first. And then after that, the whole thing grew. And at its height, we had something like 40 families on our books. I want to talk to you this morning. We looked 2 weeks ago at small things grow. We looked last week at healthy things grow. And I want to talk to you about a subject this morning that isn't always hyped on about, but I think is one of the most key things that we can have as a church and as a community of people. I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that consistent things grow. Consistent things grow. So it's not one of those, I want to make it one of those, wah-ha, preachers, okay? But actually, we're looking at consistency. It's not one of those topics that every preacher wants to preach on. Sometimes we just need to keep showing up and doing what we've been asked to do, and eventually God will take care of the rest. And I want to talk to us this morning about consistent things. What? Grow. Okay, come on, Generation Church. Consistent things? Grow. Okay. So we're going to look this morning at Hebrews 13. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 8. I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. And it says this. It might seem a bit of a weird one to look at for this, but go with me. It says this. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a few phrases in that passage of scripture in Hebrews 13. Phrases like keep on. Continue is the same as. And these phrases in this bit of the Bible actually encourage us with consistency. Keep on loving one another. Continue in what you have been doing. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the most consistent person that you will ever know and that I will ever know. And this morning, I want to tell you that consistent things will eventually grow. When we are consistent in the things that God has given us, they will achieve what God set them out to achieve. The word consistent means this, firmness and steadiness in attachment. Constantly adhering to the same principles or holding firmly together. And I love the bit in the dictionary that gives you other words that are similar to, if you go online. And I was looking at the other words that are similar to the word consistent. And these words are steady, persistent, logical, dependable, true, faithful, unchanging, and unfailing. Quite a lot of those sum up who God is. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He is true. He is dependable. He is faithful. To all he has promised and loving, the Bible says, to all that he has made. He is unchanging. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love, we've sung about it this morning, is unfailing. And I want to say to you this morning that as our faith imitates Christ, there needs to be a consistency in it that will take us through whatever we're going through right now. There needs to be a consistency in our faith and in our love for God that will take us through. God has called us to be consistent in a very fluid world. And what I mean by that is the world is always changing. The world is always changing its values, its principles. All you've got to do is turn the news on and you see that. And I want to say to us this morning that in that fluidity of our world, there's got to be some constant. There's got to be some people who actually are consistent in what they believe, not so that we kind of stay in beliefs that we should never have had, but actually so that the world sees a consistent God who never changes and who is always upholding and always dependable. You see, growth is not always glamorous. You know, we look at people that grow things. They grow business, or they grow family, or they grow church, or they grow community projects. And we look at it a few years down the line, and we see the growth, and we think it's glamorous. But growth usually isn't glamorous. Growth is usually painful. And consistency during pain is hard. But this morning, I want to pose a question to you that hopefully I'm going to try and answer. And it's simply this: is growth worth the pain? Because if we're going to grow through the pain, we've got to be consistent with a few things. Consistent things will grow, same as the lack of consistency in our life will grow things as well. And we're going to look at that a bit later on. But I want to say this morning, growth isn't always glamorous. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes there's a pain attached to our growth, whether that be personal or whether that be corporate. Those on the other side of growth who have come through it will probably say, yep, the pain's worth it. To grow my family, the pain was worth it. Yeah. To grow the business when it's all now working and you can pay the bills and you can do all of that, yeah, it was worth it. Had you have talked to them 3 years previously when they were in the thick of it and asked them the same question, they may have given a different answer. And I want to say to us this morning, we are all in different places of our life. So for me to just put a blanket thing on, yes, the pain is worth it, actually won't answer some of the questions that we have in our lives. The reality is eventually the pain will be worth it. Today you may not think it is. So I want to come from the other side of it and give some example this morning of actually the pain is worth it. And actually, if we will be consistent in a few things this morning, what we have inside of us, our faith, our compassion, our calling, the things that God has told us about that we've not seen come to fruition yet, where if we are consistent, actually that is one of the components that will bring growth into our lives and into our community here. The pain of personal growth is always hard, but what it does in you is priceless. You see, there are some things that God can't do in us in the good times. Sometimes there are situations that come into our life that if we will let him, God will use to mold us and shape us into who he wants us to be. You see, the pain to grow in those times is very difficult. The pain to grow your threshold of patience, the pain to grow your threshold of compassion is very difficult. And sometimes we've got to go through things to grow that in us. In our consistent walk with God, when we do that, we will come out the other side eventually going, it was worth it. Sometimes we have to go through the pain to get the gold. And being consistent in those times is what will bring growth in us. I just want to look by way of introduction this morning at some traits of consistent people. And I've got a few here. And there's some that I've looked at and gone, ooh. And there's some that I've looked at and gone, I could tick that one. Okay, so probably most of us in here will be like that. But the traits of consistent people, and this is by no means an exhaustive list. Okay, but traits of consistent people, number one, they show up. And you know what? When consistent people just show up all the time, sometimes they're overlooked because they're just always there. I was having a conversation with my boy's teacher this week, and Ollie's just one of those good kids in school. He's just good. And he rocks up every day, and he does as he's told, and he behaves himself. And I was saying to his teacher, how come he never gets any reward? They have a system at the school. How come he never gets any reward on the system? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, he's really good. How come he doesn't get reward? And the reason he doesn't always get reward on the system is just because he's really good. They can depend on him to rock up, be a good boy, and go home again. And so they get overlooked. Sometimes when you are one of those dependable people, the frustration comes in of, well, I just show up all the time and no one recognizes me and no one notices and no one thanks me. And that can be one of the pains of growth in our consistency. That can be one of the pains that we feel. But I want to say this morning, there is one who never overlooks you. There is one who always sees that consistency in your life. Second trait of a consistent person is they keep their heart for what they hold. When you are a consistent person, you keep your heart for the things that you hold, those responsibilities that you hold. Even if you don't like it sometimes, you keep your heart for it because you're just consistent. And until God takes it from you, now whether that be in church, in family, in work, whatever, wherever it is, we're not just talking about church this morning, you keep your heart right for the things that you hold. And you do what you need to do with excellence. Consistent people speak well in hard times. Do you know what? It doesn't matter what is going on in my marriage. I don't think you will ever hear this man speak badly of me. I really don't. He is consistent. He is consistent in our home and he is consistent in our relationship. And there are some times that he will think it. And I know that because I have to live with me too. There are some times that he may think it, but I don't think he would ever say it. He might say it to me, and that's okay. But I don't think he'd say it to anyone else. Because consistent people speak well in hard times. Consistent people support others well. Consistent people put their hands to work. Consistent people, this might sound like a bit of an oxymoron, but consistent people change when necessary. Because for people who are consistent in something, the bigger picture is more important than their personal comfort. And so because there is consistency in the bigger picture, they may change something about themselves or they may change the way that they do something because they want to be consistent in how they work in the bigger picture. Yeah. Consistent people can be relied upon. You know, there are times when my kids have kind of said they'll do something with someone or they'll go somewhere. And then the morning comes and they're meant to be going and they go, I don't want to go. And I turn into a Yorkshire man at that moment, and I say, well, you're going. Because you've said you're going, so you're going. But I'd rather play Xbox. You may rather play Xbox, but you have given someone your word, so get your coat on. We're out of here. You know, or they'll say to me, well, you phone them and tell them I'm not going. No, no, no. If you're not going to go, you call them. I'm not taking that from you. You've said you'll go. Now, if you don't want to, you can phone them up and tell them that. You see, consistent people can be relied upon. And there is part of me that wants to instill that in my children. You see, reliability and consistency was embedded in me from a young age. And I don't know what my kids are going to grow up to do. I don't know if Caitlin is going to grow up to be the professional footballer and meet Harry Kane, which is all we're wanting right now, really. I don't know if Oliver is going to grow up to be, you know, the rock guitar god. That he's working towards at the moment. I don't know what they're going to do, but I do know this. They will have been taught how to be consistent and how to be reliable. The list could be a lot longer, but I want to say this morning that we need consistent people to build the kingdom of God and the house of God. You know, sometimes the reason why it takes a while for us to do stuff and roll out new programs is simply this. We want to be consistent with it. So we don't want to roll something out that we need to stop 6 months down the line because it's not sustainable. Sometimes that happens and it's no one's fault. But I want to say to you this morning, you know, in all of the kind of vision that we've kind of packed into these last few weeks, actually we need to know that there is consistency within the house of God to be able to sustain what God is giving us. Yeah. I'd rather do this really well than spread ourselves so thin and be inconsistent. Because you know what? When we plant a campus, it needs to be consistent. Can't be there 1 minute and not there the next. Because people are going to attach themselves to us and attach themselves to the house of God. When we roll out new programs, when we roll out new projects, it's got to be consistent. Consistent things will grow. So I want to look at three areas that we need to be consistent in, both as a church and as individuals. Are you ready to write these down? Are you ready to get these? Okay, and start praying through them, thinking through them. Okay, the first one is this, that we need to be consistent in our call. What has God asked you to do? Because there will be something that God has asked you to do that he's not asked the person next to you to do. Okay, because he wants you to pick it up and he wants you to run with it. We have got to be consistent in those things, in the call of God on our lives, both in the workplace and in the church. We have to be consistent in chasing after those things that God has called us to do. We need to keep giving it our all. We need to keep doing all the things that God has asked us to do consistently. Thessalonians 1:11 says this, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray that God may make you worthy of his calling. I want to suggest to you this morning that one way that God does that is building consistency into our walk with him. Consistency into the call of God that is on us. Consistent in the things God has asked you to do will cause those things to grow. Growth isn't sustainable where there isn't consistency. It's just not. You can't, you know, where there isn't consistency in care and nurture of a child, they won't grow properly. I can't decide to feed Ollie today and then forget about it until next Sunday. He'd be shouting at me by 3 o'clock this afternoon. If he's not fed every hour, that's basically what happens. You know, he comes home from school and I make him this huge pack up to take to school with him. And he comes home at 3:30 going, I'm hungry, I need food. And we give him something to eat. And then at 5 o'clock, I'm hungry, I need food. We give him something to eat. And then they come back at 7 o'clock and say, can we have supper? I'm like, come on. I can't keep up with this. But I couldn't feed him this lunchtime and decide not to bother until next Sunday. There has to be consistency in the care and the nurture of the things that have been given to you. Whether that be something in your workplace. You know what every manager's dream will be is to have consistent people in their workplace. On their factory floor, in the school classrooms, in the office where you work, in the place where you go and you are employed. Actually, every boss's dream is consistency. But in the house of God and with the things of God, God calls for us to be consistent. Do you know what? I'll let you into a secret. I am amazed, because the Bible says that God doesn't change and all of that, but I am amazed how many times God actually changes his mind. I'm amazed. So someone will come to me 1 month and say, God has told me to do this. You can't argue with God has told me. So you go, okay, then let's go, let's do it. And then 2 months later, I'm not meant to do that anymore. I'm meant to do this. But God told you to do this. Yeah, and now he's told me not to do that. I'm like, God's just like changing his mind all the time. Actually, what God needs is us to be consistent. I am not saying that God never ends anything, because he does. But actually, with someone who is consistent, the ending will be as good as the beginning. So when God calls us to finish things, we should leave them in a better state than we found them. We should leave the office in a better way than it was when we first went there. We should leave, you know, the factory or wherever it is we go to work in a better place than when we first went there, because our consistent work ethic, our consistent way of doing things is going to change things in that place. Do you know, it is estimated in leadership that lasting change begins to happen year 5 and onwards. Yet a lot of leaders I know, the kind of life expectancy that they are anywhere is around 3.5 years, the statistics tell us. So actually, we never get to a place where we can see long-lasting growth, because we're not there long enough. So many people, I think, miss the miracle because they give up way too soon. Let me tell you this morning, church, consistent things grow. When we're consistent, God will do the rest. Secondly, we need to be consistent in our character and our integrity. Now, this is absolutely key. Your integrity is key to consistently be a growth bringer. Your integrity is key. Nothing matters more in Christianity and faith, I don't think, than your integrity. In fact, the Bible puts it like this in Psalm 25, that your integrity upholds me. My integrity is going to be the thing that either upholds me or brings me down. We went over to see Joe and Brian a few years ago. It was at Christmas time, and Freya had got the London Bridge Lego set. And it was a few months after Christmas, and we took our kids over. And the Lego model that she had built, it's about this big. And it was placed on the windowsill, and I took my two destroyers into their lounge, okay? And she had painstakingly, they didn't break it. Jane's like, they what? They broke it? Like, her eyes went wider then. But we went in, and they said, let's show you what Freya's done. I'm like, don't take them. Don't take those two to see what she's done, because what has taken hours for her to build up, they can destroy in 10 seconds. They'll trip over, or they'll knock something, or it would just be an absolute disaster to let my kids anywhere near it. Do you know why it's the same with our character and integrity? What can take us years to build up can be destroyed in a moment. When we allow an inconsistent decision into our life that is going to derail us and take us away from the things that God has got for us. Character is fragile, and it can be brought down by our own destructive behavior in a moment. Do you know, I read so many stories of long-standing leaders at the moment who are being taken out of position because of a decision that they made that was very inconsistent to what they knew was right. I want to say to us this morning, church, wherever we are, whatever we do, wherever we go Monday through to Friday, we need to be consistent in those places. We need to be consistent in the house of God, because consistency will bring growth, and so will inconsistency. And the things that are in our lives that are not right will grow if we feed them. Basically, the law is whatever you feed grows. 1 Timothy 4:16 says this, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, who was a young leader. But you know what? It's not just a leadership issue. It's a character issue for all of us to grasp. Because the world is watching, especially at the moment. The world is watching the church. And the world wants to see a consistent church who talk consistently, who don't waver on things, on issues, because it's easier to waver on it than to hold close to the truth. We're called to be salt and light in this world, we're told in Matthew chapter 5. But we can only be that when we're consistent in our character, whatever is going on around us. Do you know what? This morning, you need to be consistent in your speech. We need to be consistent in our actions. We need to be consistent in our grace. We need to be consistent in our forgiveness. If we're going to show a world who Jesus is, we've got to be consistent in our compassion, consistent in our attitude. Your consistent character that is imitating God will bring growth in every area of your life. This isn't all the kind of shiny things that we always want to preach, that always get the loudest amen. But actually, if we really grabbed a hold of this, it would take us through every season of our life, and it would show people who don't yet know God what they can have if they did know him. Yeah. Do you know what? I have worked with people who the moment they walk through the door, you know what kind of day you're going to have. Ever worked with someone like that? The moment they walk through the door, it's always going to be a bad day today. You know, the moment they walk through the door, oh, it's going to be all right. We're going to do okay today. I've worked with people like that. I ran a youth group, and at one point, there was a group of boys. And when this group of boys walked in, I knew what kind of night I was going to have. I knew if it was going to be easy or if it was going to be hard. I knew if I was going to be kicking someone out or if it was all going to be rosy. I knew if they would test me or if they would go along with it. I knew if they would, you know, if they didn't go along with what the program was, that I was going to have to try and coax a whole load of other youth and get more on my side than what was on theirs. You see, when you're inconsistent, people never know where they stand with you. And they walk on eggshells, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to behave. So I want to bring the challenge this morning that actually in your character and in your integrity, in your moods, all of those things, let's be people of consistency. Because actually, when we're people of consistency, we will be able to grow things in other people and grow things in the places that we work and in the places that we go to. You'll be able to grow things in your kids when you are consistent in how you deal with them. And the third thing, so we need to be consistent in our call. We need to be consistent in our character and integrity. And the third thing is we need to be consistent in his house. And we're talking about growing pains over this month, and we're talking about what it's going to take to grow the house of God. That's been one of our main themes, and some of the frustrations and some of the tough stuff that's in that. But we need to be consistent in his house. Two scriptures for you. Acts 2:46 says this, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Right. Hebrews 10:24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I want to take just one line of one of those scriptures and say to you this morning that actually inconsistency in your life will form habit. If we're inconsistent in things, we will form a habit in us of that. And when that happens, that habit is hard to break. We know the statistic on how long it takes to break a habit. And what I want to say to you this morning is, let's be consistent in the house of God. Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the what? In the habit of doing. When we get inconsistent with these things, it forms a habit in our life. And when we form a habit, it forms a kind of a destructive circle, a vicious circle that we struggle to get out of. For us, the habit is we're consistent in the house of God. Long may that continue. And I have had that habit drilled into me since I was a baby. I want to say to you, you know, we can bring all the vision we want in the world, but where there isn't consistency, that will struggle to come true. That will struggle to become a reality. We need to be consistent in the house of God. We need to serve consistently, show up consistently, give consistently, love consistently, evangelize consistently, grow consistently, and encourage consistently. Yeah. And some of that, for some of us right now, is painful. And I understand that. I get that. There have been seasons in my life that have not been easy to be in the house of God. But consistency in my life says that is good for me. Whether it's easy or not is irrelevant. Right. Easy doesn't come into it for me. What is good for me and what is right for me is what I'm going to do. Because consistent things grow. You see, the thing is, I think when Jesus was on the earth, I'm always really staggered by the story of when Jesus died on the cross and there was a thief next to him who had lived a life that was wrong, who had lived a life that was against God, and he turns to him and he begins this conversation with Jesus that ends with Jesus saying, today you will be with me in paradise. Yeah. You see, some people look at that and say, that's not fair. This is how he'd lived his life. Why does he get to go and be with Jesus today in paradise? Do you know why? Because Jesus was consistent with the message that he gave. The message of salvation, the message of compassion, the message of grace and mercy. He was consistent with, even in his dying breath, he was consistent with it. And I think Jesus would look today as people enter eternity and go, it was worth it. Ah, they're coming. It was worth it. Ah, they're coming. I'm going to spend eternity with them. It was worth it. There was pain for him. There was struggle for him. There was hardship for him. But actually, I think he looks at you today after you've made a decision to be with him and to follow him, and he goes, it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. Jesus, as he looks across eternity, would say that the pain in growth was worth it. Do you know when we make our choice and when we put down our roots, there will be times when we don't like it. There will be times where it's painful. But our growth and the growth of the things around us will be worth the pain. When you can push through that and begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I know it's hard when you can't. But when you can push through that, when you can allow God to do something in you in the middle of pain and in the middle of life being hard, when we can become consistent, and one of the things we need to be consistent in is in his house. Yeah. For our church to grow healthy, we need to pass on consistency to the next generation as well. For this house to grow and to spread out where God needs it to, we need to be consistent. I need to be consistent. It's not glamorous. It's not the limelight, but it's priceless, necessary, and incredibly godly. And we're not here to grow generations of people who just like the hype or just like the atmosphere or the lights or all of that. We're here to grow people who get their roots in their faith and who knows what it is to be consistent in every season. And there are seasons, I've mentioned this before, one of the best preachers I ever heard. I was at Hope City Church in Sheffield, and Dave Gilpin was preaching. And he was preaching on the strength of your team is in those who are sat on the bench. And he was preaching on the fact that actually it's not just the people who are on the pitch that give you strength, but it's those that you can call on when those on the pitch need a rest. And for some of us, we're in a season right now where it's like we're sat on the bench. But you know what? You can be consistent while you're doing that. You can be consistent in prayer. You can be consistent in encouragement. You can be consistently about. For some of us, life's happened, and I fully understand that. And there is part of me that doesn't want to make us feel uncomfortable in that pain, and there is part of me that wants to make us feel very uncomfortable in that pain. There are seasons that are difficult. There are seasons where we might feel that we're on the bench. There are seasons that we might feel people don't see us. There are seasons where we might feel, I'm no good, I'm no use to that. But actually, your faith and your consistency in those seasons is so vital. Your prayer, your encouragement. You may not be on the ground doing everything. But you know what? God listens to you. It's incredible. So I want to say to you this morning, consistent things grow. And we need to become people of substance in the world in which we live. People of consistency. People who know what it is to go through those valleys. People who have got the story that actually the pain of growth is worth it. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you this morning for this house. I thank you for what you have called us to specifically. I thank you for the things that you are going to be asking of us in the coming months and years. And Lord, I pray that you will help us. God, sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes life happens and we don't feel like being consistent. Sometimes things get in the way. But God, I pray this morning that we would be people who put our roots down, who become so entangled in what you have got for us. People who become so entangled in the call of God, not just on our own lives, but on the life of this house, that Father God, we go where you send us. We do what you ask of us. Lord, I pray that we will all make the choice this morning to be consistent, because that's all it is, God. It's a choice. And I pray that this word over the next 7 days will just begin to resonate in our lives and in our hearts. We'll allow you and allow the Holy Spirit to do something in us that calls upon our consistency. I pray for those, Lord God, who are in the middle of the pain. Lord, I pray that you will be with them. God, the Bible says that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in that scripture, God, it says that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And Lord, I pray for those who this morning are asking the question, will the pain be worth it? Lord, I pray that you will minister, that you'll bring your peace, that you'll bring your joy, that you will bring everything that is needed. But God, I pray into everyone's life this morning, whether we are in the middle of the pain or whether we are on the mountaintop, Lord, I pray that you will embed in us consistency of faith, consistency of character, God, and consistency in the house of God. Lord, I pray that those things will just become habit in our life. Father God, I pray your blessing on everyone in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.